The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It is the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live on a Monday afternoon. My telephone number 877 Bob Live 877. 262-5483. And as I promised, Sharon in Westerville has been very patient on hold, and I don't want her to wait any longer. Sharon, you're up next on Bob Burney Live. Welcome, and thank you for calling.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
That's wonderful. I first want to say praise the Lord. I love Jesus. Amen. He is the head of my life. And I love people, and I'm calling because the last guy that I just heard on there, really, he struck a nerve and broke my heart in what he was saying about if the Democrats get in office, that he would rather for the Lord to take him out of here. I am so sad to hear somebody saying something like that because he did mention that he's a Christian, and as Christian people, amen, that means we are to be Christ-like, amen. And so what I want to say is this, to him, that our trust, first of all, should not be in man anyway. I'm not Democrat or Republican, but I am Jesus only, and I believe that God's will is going to be done whether the Democrats or the Republicans get in office. It doesn't matter. God is in control of everything. And I'm just sad to hear a person say that if one or the other party get in, that they would rather for the Lord to take them home. Our confidence and our trust has to be in God wholeheartedly, not in man and what man can do. We have to trust the Lord in everything, and even right now during this COVID period that's been brought upon us and allowed to be upon us at this time, we have to trust God in everything, not look to man for anything, because the Democrats or the Republicans cannot fix what's going on in man's heart. It's man's heart that's sinful. It's not one party or the other party that is more sinful than the other. It is the heart of man that is sinful, and it goes back to the root of sin in the heart of mankind. And we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the Democrats and the Republicans. They need to be saved, all of them, because they don't realize that they are being used of the enemy to cause division, to cause hatred amongst one another. And it starts at the head first. If you read in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, it talks about that. And so we really need to pray and ask God to intervene, amen, and touch the hearts of mankind to give mankind a heart to repent and turn to God and turn from their wicked and evil ways. And that's what I want to say. And I'm praying for that man, that he puts his confidence in God and not in man, not in the president. God is the head. God is the King of kings and Lord. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords of all things. And everything is going to work according to his will, regardless of who's in the White House. That's what I wanted to say. I love you, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Sharon. I appreciate your call. Thank you. And a reminder that God is in control. Does that mean that we disengage from politics and not vote? No, I don't think so at all. I think we should be engaged. I think we should study candidates and parties and vote for those who stand closest to a biblical position. But God already knows who's going to win the next election. It's not a surprise to him. And, you know, in the last election, there was a great deal of concern and worry about who was going to get elected. The liberals were scared to death that Trump was going to get elected. The conservatives were scared to death that Hillary was going to get elected. And God already knew how that election was going to work out. He already knows how the next one's going to work out. Now, again, It is sometimes difficult to understand how the free will of man and the sovereignty of God come together. But they do. God is so powerful, so mighty, so magnificent that he can create mankind with free will and yet be in complete control. It's an amazing thing. And that's why some, I hope I don't get in trouble here, but wouldn't be the first time. That's why we've come up with little theological boxes and theological systems, you know? Are you a Calvinist or are you an Arminian? I'm not either one. I kid, and I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. I say I'm about a 2 3/8 Calvinist. And I'm being facetious, all right? There are part of Calvinistic doctrine that I agree with wholeheartedly. There is part of it that I totally reject. I'm not Arminian in my theology. I don't believe that once you are truly born again, and that's the key, that you can lose your salvation. But we often try to put God in a neat little theological box, and so that we can explain the inexplicable. We can't explain God. We can't understand God. We can certainly understand parts, what he has revealed to us, but it comes down to this: God is infinite. I am finite. And you don't have to be a deep philosopher to understand that a finite being does not have the capability of comprehending an infinite being. It's impossible. The finite cannot comprehend the infinite. The infinite has no problem whatsoever in understanding the finite, and God is infinite. So when it comes to that balance of believing in the absolute sovereignty of God, and also in believing in the free will of man, somehow God puts them together in an inexplicable manner. And I've got a couple of old illustrations that I used to use, and neither one of them are really good in trying to explain how God makes those things go together, his sovereignty and the free will of man, because they seem to be mutually exclusive. If God is absolutely sovereign, then man simply cannot have free will. And if man has free will, God cannot be absolutely sovereign. And I'm convinced that the Bible teaches both. And so I believe both. I believe that God is powerful enough, mighty enough, and infinite enough to create mankind with the ability to choose, the ability to have free will, and yet still be in complete charge. Only God could do that. Now, what does that mean practically then? It means because we have a free will, we have responsibility. We have personal responsibility. We have responsibility to make right decisions, to choose good and not evil, light and not darkness. We have a responsibility to do righteousness and not unrighteousness. We have a responsibility to make informed decisions about politics and elections. That's a part of the life that we live. And so we have a responsibility to make informed decisions, to do all that we possibly can to have a proper outcome of the next election. And then trust God that if it doesn't go the way we think it should go, the whole world is not going to fall apart. On election, hey, listen. This coming election in November, I can assure you God is not going to be pacing the halls of heaven wondering what in the world is going to happen. He's not. Many humans will be, but God won't. Nothing takes him by surprise. He has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a calendar. And nothing, no one, no man, no woman, no government, no country is going to change God's calendar. And we can be assured of that. Absolutely assured. All right. I need to take a break. It's an incredible thing, though, to believe in a sovereign God. It really is. It is an absolutely wonderful thing to know that God is sovereign.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, my. Just when you think you've seen it all. Yeah, no, you haven't seen it all. The political correctness lunacy continues. Washington Redskins are going to change their name and logo. Today it was announced that the Columbus or the Capital University Crusaders are going to be changing their name and logo. Yeah, the Crusaders. And then we have this over with the United Methodists. I thought I had seen all of the lunacy from the leadership, not individuals. I know some wonderful, precious United Methodists, sweet people. I know some precious United Methodist pastors. I have spoken at some wonderful United Methodist churches, but I'm telling you, their denomination is a mess. If you, if I asked you, what is the logo for the United Methodist Church? Many of you probably couldn't tell me. Unless I told you, it is a picture of a cross with a red flame beside it. Now, it's really difficult to tell that it's actually a flame, but it is. And it represents the flame of the Holy Spirit, the cross and the Holy Spirit. This has been the official logo of the United Methodist Church for many, many years. If you saw it, you would immediately recognize it. You've seen it at United Methodist churches for many, many years all over the country. Well, believe it or not, there is a movement to get rid of it. Yep. Here is an editorial at the UnitedMethodistNews.org. Time for the cross and flame to go. Written by a pastor in the United Methodist Church, a black pastor. Listen to this. And you say, why? He says, I saw my first burning cross in 1979 when I was 10 years old. It was night. My family and I were on our way to Shreveport, Louisiana, from the parsonage of Mills Memorial Christian Methodist Episcopal Church in Marshall, Texas, where my dad was pastor. We were comfortably talking, riding along, when to our right, my mother pointed out a large burning cross just off the freeway. My mother told my brother, sister, and me that the burning cross was a powerful image devised to evoke fear in black people. Okay, it was a Ku Klux Klan burning cross. When I began reading this article, I thought, what in the world does that have to do with the United Methodist logo? Well, listen to this. He goes on, it was years later, after I left the CME Church and joined the United Methodist Church with my wife in January of 1992, that I saw the United Methodist Church cross and flame insignia and thought to myself, that is interesting. Are you serious? Now, you've all seen the logo for the United Methodist Church. Would anybody in their right mind equate that to the burning cross of the KKK? I'm serious. How could anybody make that leap? Well, this United Methodist pastor has. He says, when I saw the United Methodist cross and flame, I didn't think of John Wesley's heart being strangely warmed. I didn't think of the flaming tongues of fire resting on the apostles in Acts 2. I didn't think of how each tongue of the flame represents the former denominations that came together to form the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical United Brethren, the Methodist Church. My mind went back to the burning cross I saw on the side of the freeway, a symbol my mother told me was devised to cause fear in black people. That's an intentional pause. Here is this pastor in the United Methodist Church acknowledges the symbolism of the logo that has nothing to do with racism or the KKK or anything like that. But he has decided in this woke culture that he is offended by a logo that has a flame and a cross, even though the flame is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. And then he goes through a long history of burning crosses, the KKK, and so on and so forth, and comes to the conclusion, the logo of the United Methodist Church has got to go because he has decided that he is offended. He said, quote, it is time for open and serious discussion and a clear and liberating decision about the banner under which all United Methodists stand. It is time to move on from the cross and flame. I would suggest that possibly, and I don't know this man, I don't know his heart, but I think he is moving on past the cross as well. We're living in a time when if you look long enough and hard enough and you honestly try to be offended, you're going to find something that offends you. Now, you know that principle that I share with you all the time? When you start traveling down a particular road, a particular path, whether it's philosophically or ideologically or theologically, don't look where that road will take you in 5 miles, 10 miles, 100 miles. Look where that road will take you in 1,000 or 5,000 miles. If we continue traveling down this road, that anything and everything offends me, and because it offends me, it has to be removed. Where in the world is this going to end? And the answer, it never does. How will the United Methodist Church respond to this cry to destroy the logo? I have a feeling he is going to find some sympathetic ears, some more people that are woke. Just, it is. Oh, my goodness. The insanity continues.